Turning to two places this evening, what we've been looking at, Psalm 116 and 1 John 4. Psalm 116 and 1 John 4. All right. In Psalm 116, he said, "I love the Lord." And then he gives a comma there. And he says, "Because." That's what our lesson has been about. We've named our lesson that we've been looking at simply because. And there's a number of times that this word because is mentioned here in this Psalm 116. He said, "I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication." And then he said again, "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." Now think about that statement there for a minute. He said, I love the Lord. And he said, there's some reasons why I love him. He said, because, he said, he's heard my prayer. He's listened. He's heard my supplications. He said, and he's inclined his ear. He's bent down and listened to what I've had to say. I've talked to him, and the Lord listens to us. When we're in sincere prayer to the Lord, He listens to us. And the psalmist said, it's like he's bent down. We said this before. It's like he's bent down and cupped his ear, and bent down and listening to what the psalmist is having to say. And he said, verse 2, "Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." He said, as long as I'm here, as long as I'm living, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to do everything I can to serve him. I'm going to live for him the rest of my life. That ought to be our every one of us's life. For every one of us is saved, that ought to be our goal, is to live for the Lord and to do his will. And to mind and obey Him in what He has to say to us and what He does for us. And the psalmist said, I'll do it the rest of my life. "The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then call I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul." He says here in verse 5, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful." That's another good statement there. We think, I mean, he said, "Gracious is the Lord." And he said, "He's merciful to us." And every one of us can say that, we know he's a God of all grace, and he's merciful to every one of us. And "the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from the tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord? For all his benefits unto me." He said, all the benefits that the Lord gives. He said, how am I going to repay him? How can I return anything for him for everything he's done for me? He said, "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the son of thy handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee. O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord." And he starts out this psalm with, "I love the Lord," and he ends it up with, "Praise ye the Lord." And then in 1 John 4, 1 John chapters number 4, Again, we see how many times the word because, as we read this, how many times the word because is mentioned in this chapter here. And the word love. He said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." Why would he say that? Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. He said, here's the reason. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. He said, he's given a warning here. He said, you need to be careful. Because he said, there's many false prophets out there. And not only is, we mentioned this in one of the lessons, not only is it in our mega churches, the false prophets and false teaching that's going on, it's in our smaller churches. I mean, it's in some of the churches just right here around about us. It's the false teaching and the false prophets. And the false prophets are everywhere. And they're more known on the TVs and in the big mega buildings, but they're also in our little small churches. He said, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the spirit in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Why? How? Why? "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth, God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved him, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we know, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath tormented. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And here's our verse that we've quoted many times from, as we said, from the pulpit. I've quoted this many times. We love him, and he says, why? How can we love him? I mean, how can we love God? There's not but one way we can love God, because he first loved us. I mean, we can't even love him without him loving us first. And if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. And so as we said, we've been looking at these along these lines here. And he draws us, he calls us, he saves us, he brings us to himself, he makes us aware of our need for him. He opens up our eyes to salvation in all of our loving, in all our of loving, all out of loving kindness. Why? Why did he do that? Because he loves us. Because he loves me. My Savior died on a cross, was crucified. He suffered it all. He drank the cup that was the Father handed him to. He drank it dry. Matthew 26:39 says, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, as I will, but as thy will be." And so he paid it all. Jesus never half did anything. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And he done it all. Why? Because he loves us. And we'll read the scripture. Brother Ronnie taught us these over in Mark chapters number 10 when he was teaching us back here a while back, a few weeks back. And he looked at this scripture in Mark chapters number 10. And we'll read it here, some of these verses here number 17. Mark 10, verses 17. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him." Look at this statement right here. In verse number 21, "Then Jesus beholding him," that means that he looked on him. He looked on him. He was and he was beholding him, and he loved him. Beholding him, that means to look on him, to observe, to he fixed or he to discern clearly. He gazed upon him, and then he loved him, he said. Now, think about that statement. After what Jesus knew this man's heart, he knew what kind of a person he was. He knew everything about him before the man even came to him. But the Bible says that he loved him. To love in a moral, he loved him to like into a moral sense. It means to be a friend to. It means to have affection for. We learn here that the love Jesus had towards sinners. Listen to the expression again of what he said here in the account of this story here. Jesus beholding him. I mean, he just, I can, I mean, you remember when Peter denied the Lord and Jesus looked at him and I imagine that was, and I'm sure that was a different kind of look the way he, but you can you imagine how the Lord may have looked at people and how that he could see right through them? And I've seen people, Brother Edgar Thomas used to be one, that he could look at you. I mean, while he was preaching, he could look at you and it's like he was looking right dead right through you, like he was reading your mind. Almost many times, and the Lord Jesus, he beholding him, he looked in, and at the same time, after everything that this man told him, and the kind of person he was, it said that the Lord loved him. He loved him,
And that love most likely was a love of pity and compassion. Jesus beheld him with pity and a strange mixture of earnestness and ignorance in this case. And we can suppose that the Lord Jesus looked at him with a tender concern as he does sinners. Remember the Lord Jesus said, prayed in Matthew 23:37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children unto together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not." I mean, the Lord Jesus loved sinners, and the Lord healed many people, and he raised people from the dead, and he did other things, and all of them that he did wouldn't save people. Every miracle he performed many of them people wasn't saved. Remember the 10 lepers that the Lord healed, and only one of them came back and thanked him. And the one came back, and he was thankful for what the Lord had done for him. He evidently loved the Lord. We can speculate that anyway, that he came back enough, that he had enough respect to come back and say, "Thank you, Lord," in the condition that he was in. And we have to say that we were in a condition before the Lord saved us, the condition we was in, and we have to say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me." And this leper, they were forbidden to be around society. They couldn't be around people. They had to call out from way out, and they called from afar out when they called the Lord Jesus to have mercy on them. And only the one came back and thanked him. And if man is lost, it's not because Jesus don't love him. Jesus said in his own words, in John 3:19, "And this is the commandment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Why? "Because their deeds were evil." There's that word "because" again. It keeps jumping up. He said "because." And Jesus loved this rich man and this rich young ruler. And the rich man ruler loved what he had, as Brother Ronnie taught us. He loved what he had. He loved the thing. He loved things. And Jesus told him first. He said, "Go sell everything. You have to give it all to the poor. Get rid of your God first." That's what he was saying. "You get rid of your God, and then you come back and talk to me." And we have to get rid of our gods before the Lord of glory, and the Lord, the true and living God, will have us. And let go of all our gods, then come take up your cross, he said, and follow me. And it's going to cost to follow the Lord. And the Lord Jesus loved this man, the scripture said. And we love him because he first loved us. And in Luke, chapter number 12, we read a couple of verses over here. In Luke 12, we have another account where Jesus is talking here. In Luke 12, verses number 16, he said, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself," he didn't think about God, he didn't pray about anything, thought within himself, and he said, "What shall I do? Because," there's that word "because" done jumped up again. He said, "Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Why couldn't he just build on to what he had? It would have been cheaper, wouldn't it? You would have thought, build on to what you already had. But he said, no, he said, and no doubt, if he was a rich man, evidently he had probably some of the best barns in the county anyway. But he said, I'm going to just tear them down and start over and build bigger ones. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. For fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags with wax, not old, a treasure in the heavens, and faileth not, whether no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. And so the Lord, he tells us here, and he again, he loved that young ruler. And we can love the Lord Jesus and let things have us if we're not careful. And the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And we repeat this over and over. How can we not love him? How can we not love him? Because all that he has done for us. I mean, how can we not love him? We can look at Psalm 116 and verse number 1, and we can say, I love the Lord because. And we can just go right on and name him. I love him. I love the Lord because he died for me. I love the Lord because he hung on a cross and suffered my sins. I love the Lord because he was buried and rose again the third day. I love the Lord because he left a great example while he was here on this earth. I love the Lord because of this, what we have a Bible here to read, that we can open up and read his word and read God breathed. I love the Lord because we have a pastor that preaches the gospel. I love the Lord because we have a gospel that we can preach. I love the Lord because of this church, because we have a church to come to. I love the Lord because I have many Christian friends. I can we can meet Christian friends all over. We can meet all over this world. We have Christian brothers and sisters, and many times we might run into a stranger and begin to talk to them, pick up a conversation with them, and come to find out they know the Lord. They're our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and we can love them because I love the Lord because. I can call upon Him at any time, and He's there. I love the Lord because He loads me down daily with benefits. As He said, as the psalmist said in 116, something that benefits me means something helpful. It means to profit. It means to advantage. I love the Lord because He calls because He called me to preach. I do a bad job of it. I do an awful job of it. But yet at the same time, I love Him because He's done it. I love the Lord because of who He is and for what He's done. I love the Lord because I know He is in total control and He sees the big picture. He sees everything. He knows what's going on. He can take care of me. I can talk to Him and He can let me know. If we listen to Him sometime, we know ahead of time which way to go, what direction to go in, what to do. And I love the Lord because He first loved me. And He loves me just because. I mean, He loves me just because. What about that? I mean, He loves us just because. We love Him. We can name. We could just go on. Every one of us could just go on and name one thing after another. I love the Lord because He did this for me. I love the Lord because He did this for me. But He loves us just because. Our choir sings a song, "Because of His Grace." I am what I am. Why? Because of His grace. For one spotless lamb died in my place. All my sins are forgiven. My past is erased. I am what I am. Why? Because of His grace. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God. Our pastor talked about that a while back. Because of the grace of God, he said, I am what I am. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yea, not I, but the grace of God, which was in, within me. It's all because of His grace. We have nothing to boast about. Nothing. We don't have anything to boast about. We can as many people that might boast about a lot of different things, about the things that they do and brag about. I did this, I did that. I was listening to the radio one time, and it's been quite a few years back, and there was a preacher on there. I think seemed like he might have been from out of the Atlanta area, and he was saying, I built this Sunday school. We got to Sunday school, and he said, I built this, and I did a different thing. He named on and on and on because the church had evidently prospered, and I could see why after listening to what the man said. He said, I did this, and I did that. Well, we can't boast about nothing that because God does it for us. Ephesians chapters number 2, he said, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we have all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, where even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and hath set us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of His grace, of His kindness toward us from Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. There it is again. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. You ain't got nothing to boast about. We can't be boasting and when we got Scripture to prove it. He said, for by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto God's work, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Our faith, our conversation, our eternal salvation are not of any product of anything that we can, none of our abilities. Nothing that we did, nor of any merits of our own, nothing we merited. Not of works, he said, unless man should boast about it. It's not done by us, by no means. He said, therefore, all boasting is excluded. You might as well just throw it out the window to begin with. No need to boast about it. Since salvation is a gift, it cannot be earned, merited, or otherwise purchased. It's not possible. The Holy Spirit emphasizes not of works, lest any man should boast, he said. Suppose God were to take people to heaven on the basis of their good works. He's not going to do it. We know that. We know He's not going to do it. But people would for sure. Why did He create all the animals and everything to begin with, everything on earth, and then a man was the last one He created? Because if he'd created Adam and then created the animals, Adam would have said, well, I done that one over there. I done that one over there. I created the trees, and I did this. And he would have bragged about it. But it's not possible, he said. Don't boast. Nothing to boast about. We don't have anything to boast about. But just suppose that God took people together sure. They would say, I'm here because, let me tell you why I'm here. Because I was a church member. That's why I'm here. No, you weren't here because you're no church member. The other one would say, well, I'm here because I was baptized and I went forward in a meeting and I repeated a prayer that the preacher told me to repeat. And the preachers told me that I was all right. Everything was just fine. Of course, we know that happens every in pulpits and in churches. But that's not going to happen. Somebody else might say, well, I'm here because I helped the needy. I had a man tell me one time, well, I believe that I was trying to witness to him, tell him about the Lord. He said, well, I believe if I see a man out here down on the street, and I go down there, and he needs some groceries or something, and I take him to the grocery store, and I buy him some groceries, and take him back home, and he said, I believe God's going to look at that and say, son, you done a pretty good job. You can come on into heaven. I said, no. I said, that's not the way it works. God, it don't work like that. People going to boast, but still people boast about it. People say, I'm here because I lived a good, clean life. Well, you ought to live a good, clean life. That's good. People should. There's nothing wrong with living a good, clean life. That's not going to get you to heaven. I'm here because my parents took me to church. Well, that's good. My parents took me to church. It didn't do no good until the Lord opened my heart up like He did Lydia's heart. I'm here because I love people. Well, I love people too. And I was very fond of a lot of people before I got saved. But that's not because of it. I'm here because I believe in God. Well, a lot of people believe in God. There's a God. And we have many. I believe I'm here because I'm a good person. Well, that's all right too. But if we make it to heaven, it will be, why? Because of the grace of God. Because of God's grace. That's the only way, that's the only thing that's going to get us to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ through His shed blood. And grace is an expression of the love of God, always available. No way to earn it. It can't be earned. Grace is never far from us. but it can be undetected and unappreciated many times. I can say I know grace is mine, and I received it with gratitude. I mean, John Newton wrote "Amazing Grace," and he described any good thing within himself as an outworking of God's grace in that song. I mean, whatever John Newton said, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved what an old wretch like me." And he said, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see." And he can go right along with a couple other heroes and stand right beside him. David, who was a murderer and an adulterer. Peter, who was a coward. Saul, we all know, who persecuted the churches. And this same grace is available to all who are willing to call upon him. The same grace. It lives rooted in God's unchanging grace can never, or rather lives rooted in God's unchanging grace can never be unrooted. Ephesians 1, verses 6 and 7, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, for the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in our sins, he's quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. By grace are you saved. The truth is, the only way that you'll get there will be the title of the song, because of his grace. No other way. I am what I am because of his grace. Why is that? For one spotless lamb died in my place. All my sins. You see, not part of them, but all my sins have been forgiven. My past, oh boy, did I have a past. Did we all have a past? My past has been totally erased. I mean, it's not there anymore. I can look back. I can have people talk about things that I did in the past, and I have. I've had relatives and others when I meet and talk with them, and they bring up. You remember when back when we did this? I said, "Yeah, I remember." I said, "Well, remember when you?" I said, "Well, no, that wasn't me that done that. That was altogether different. I don't do that no more. I don't go there no more." And many times, as Pastor said, we might ride by a place where we committed some wicked sin. And we go by that place, and whether it's the flesh or the devil or whatever it is, brings it to your mind. You remember what you did at that place? You remember what happened when... Yeah, I remember that. But it's in the past. It's been erased. God don't remember it. God has never, I can say that God never, I know for sure he's not the one that brings it to our mind, because our past has been erased. He's forgotten about it. I may have a hard time forgiving myself. I may have a hard time, I may think about it at times, but God's not the one that brings it up. He's not the one that said, hey buddy, yeah, now you remember. You remember when I forgave you for that? No, he don't do that. Our past has been erased. Because I am what I am, he said, because of his grace. Another song I found the words to, and it wasn't necessarily the verse, the words of the course caught my attention more than did the verses, and it goes like this: it's because of God's amazing grace, because on Calvary's mountain he took my place, and someday, some glorious morning, I shall see him face to face. All because of His amazing grace. All because of God's grace. It's all because of Him that we are able to, because we love one another. The Lord Himself said we ought to love one another. And, you know, that's hard to do a lot of times. And there's some people that it's hard to love them. I mean, we every one of us might as well admit that. We got people that we hang around with, or we come in contact with, and it's hard to love them. But the Scripture said we ought to love our enemies. Those that talk about us, there's people that talk about probably every one of us have people that talk about us behind our back, and they no telling what they say, and it really. I mean, we don't like to be talked about, and we don't want to be talked about in that way. But there's no telling what they do say about us. But we still ought to love that person. We still should love that person. I had a neighbor back years back that neighbor, I could hear him across the road. There was a few houses over across the on another street over, and they would holler out at me many times and say some ugly things, and they would ride by. I'd be out in the yard and I'd throw my hand up at them, and they'd act like they didn't even see me. He'd ride by, I'd throw my hand up, they'd act like they didn't see me. And one day, while I was heading my garden, the wife, she was out. I saw her out in the yard, and I took her some stuff over from out of my garden. And she told me thank you. And then I saw their grass needed cutting one day, and I knew I saw one of the boys over there trying to get a push lawnmower. They had a pretty good-sized yard, and I saw them over there trying to get a push lawnmower. Cranked. He couldn't get it cranked, and his grass was starting to grow up. And while they was not at home, I went over and cut their grass. And they didn't know it at the time that I cut it. They found out later that I did. And they'd drive by and I'd throw my hand up. They wouldn't do it. One day, the road by, I threw my hand up, and the old man threw his hand up. And little while down the road, I went over and cut his grass, and he stopped. I was out in the yard, and he stopped. And he said, "You cut my grass?" I said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "I sure do appreciate it." And they become real good friends. The man passed away, and a couple of years ago, pretty sure he was lost. But it still, we have to love our enemies. He was my enemy. I mean, as far as he hated me, and I hadn't given him any reason to. He just didn't like me, I guess. But later on, and as I just kept on, I never. Said they would holler across, and I wouldn't say nothing, and I throw my hand up as they went by, and then after that one day he stopped, and he said, "You cut my grass?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I sure do appreciate it," and he was very, very kind about it. And so he said in Psalm 116 in verse 5, he said, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God," he said, "is merciful." He said, "Gracious is the Lord." He's a God of grace. Our God is a God of grace. And we're going to stop right there.